Okay, this presentation concludes today's session, one held today with IE Defence, says a week. So this will continue tomorrow, and the CISA conference is going to end. So I would ask you to welcome Bertrand de Gennes, who's head of the Armed Forces Digital Division. Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. It falls to me then the honor of closing this 2019 edition of the CESE. And on behalf of Mr. Tissier, who could not be with us this evening, some of you must have met him over the course of the day. Unfortunately, he was otherwise engaged and had to return to Paris this evening. When I was told I had to come to this conference, I was a little embarrassed. I knew that I was going to talk in front of a great many people who are far more familiar with the subject than I am. And thus, I was slightly embarrassed to explain anything to you or talk to you about anything. And then I realized I knew what I was going to talk about. For those who are not in the armed forces, I am a soldier. I think the uniform gives it away. And I'm going to talk about military operations and the reason for which we are very interested in your work. Much of the work has been described today and since yesterday, indeed. And much of this is in its incipient stages before being deployed in the field. Now, as I understand, in the field, this is military operations, and that's where I'd like to be today. That's what I'd like to talk about. I want to talk about my expression of needs, why I need your work, why I need artificial intelligence, I need virtualization, all of it working together for the good of the country. It's fairly passionate for me. It's enthusiastic, and I imagine that, and I hope that some of you have ideas for the future, and that's what I'm going to try and describe, the future. Obviously, the subject of this conference, the virtualization and cyber defense, really is the perfect reflection of last year's subject on cyber defense, which we're hoping the field of the possible, which is wonderful. We've already described it to you. You've got agility in terms of architecture, time savings for the network, a more secure network, especially, hopefully, will be less expensive for the implementation of hardware, which is easier to use. All of that, for us in the army, this reflects the reality in the field, and I will come back to that later. So on top of everything that's been described, myself as a member of the cybersecurity and a member of the head of the department within the armed forces, I have to ask the question and say, perhaps at the heart of all these new IT and digital means, we have more and more effective means to produce effective and practical cybersecurity because our systems are increasingly digital. They are increasingly connected. We're often asked if the digitalization of the armed forces is well accepted, if it's simply endured, or whether it's an opportunity. And I believe it's all three. We are subject to it. We have to accept it. France and the Minister of the Armed Forces will not be able to buy necessarily very digitalized equipment. But at the other end of the chain, it's a wonderful opportunity because this opens up the field of the possible, which was hitherto only dreamt of. Particularly within the ministry, we associate IA and virtualization. It allows us to go further in this digitalization of the field of battle. This is fundamental in tomorrow's world. France, compared to other enemies with which we're confronted, has an enormous advantage. It's a very technologically sound country, and we must rely on this competitive edge. And then there's a disadvantage. Finally, we don't know how to send a great many soldiers out into the field. Not that many when you look at the head of the armed forces explaining on the television that in Mali, on a surface which measures, I don't know how many more times bigger than Europe, where there are only 4,000 soldiers in the field, you can understand then that the digital wing is something which is crucial for our success and make sure that our sovereign missions succeed.
So that's what we're going to be looking for with the computerization of all these issues. I want to talk about three specific areas, and as company executives, industrial players, you can take notes. We have operational needs that I'm going to try to describe as clearly as possible, and you will understand that we are not too far from what has been explained objectively. I haven't understood everything that was explained this afternoon. Some of the questions that were being asked were completely beyond me, but on the other hand, what I would have understood is that we are capable of doing some great things. And what has interested me the last few slides. This is what we are able to do. That's when we start thinking about what we'll be able to do in the future. Three areas in which we, in military operations, the armed forces, are directly interested in the association between AI and digitalization. One of the earlier presentations, the passage to scale, scalability. In the word program, there's little dots underneath, red dots to show that it's not a proper word for the dictionary. The cyberspace that we want to defend is colossal, and we will need to defend it. It is colossal because it is spread throughout the territory, but is also stretching all the way to places like Mali, where we are operational, and it is everywhere. This physical space, as opposed to the cyberspace, is absolutely colossal. And as well as being extended so far, maybe there aren't that many, it has particularities which are unique. It uses systems that are its own, that are owned by the Ministry of Defense and ones that wage war, of course. And then there is the specificity of our infrastructures that I'm going to come back in a minute that is fundamental in everything that you think and everything that you are thinking through today. This particularity in field operations, we have constrained networks. Never forget that. Fundamental. When you're thinking of artificial intelligence and virtualizations, you need to think through the issue that we have constrained networks for operational networks. What it means is that, in practical terms, when a soldier has a contact radio IP on the field, his IP radio must not send safety logs. It needs to send, but the network, the tiny network that is given to him, must not be used for that. That's where artificial intelligence and virtualization can come in and help us. It's also in terms of ensuring the safety of data being transmitted. And finally, it is in everything in terms of resilience of the architectures. Resilience is fundamental for us. If I want to come back to the first of those points to support what I've said about scalability, what is basic for us all, the association of virtualization and artificial intelligence helps us with scalability. How? And that's where I want you to take notes. Automation of functions, possible functions that can be automated. Today, we spend too much time on automation. There are tools today that help us to do this kind of thing, but we spend too much time automating recurring states, behaviors that devalue the work of our operational cyber operatives. They leave because they are discouraged. This is fundamental for us. Automation is also generating maps that will be automated. That will be something important. You know, I can imagine that in your companies and the organizations that you represent, it's a recurring problem. We do not know how to cleanly map out the cyber threats. We don't know how to do it. Everything that can be automated in this area of mapping threats will be plus, a bonus in terms of efficiency. Our work in cyber terms is analyzing hazards and risks and analyzing it in as objective a way as possible and providing our operational command with something that is objective as possible, a mapping of the networks that need to be secured. Of course, several times we've already talked about it, several times, even as some things escaped me. Everything that is detection of weak signals. Of course, today, low-frequency signals, we consider that we haven't had a big attack in cyber terms at the ministry. I hope it's true. But it's possible that one day when we have really good algorithms, we'll understand that some of them have settled into our system. I hope that's not the case, but we need you to help us find that out, prevent that from happening, because it hasn't happened yet. And then I'm projecting into operational field conditions. Virtualization and artificial intelligence will allow us to create objects like sandboxes in networks that are being used, but separating the variabilities in an intelligent way, sufficiently so to deter what we think might be an attack and continue being operational. We need to continue being operational. Why should I produce an analysis of risk ongoing all the time? Because I'm being required, because despite the digitalization of all of our systems, these systems need to continue being waging war when is needed. That's what you're going to help us with. But that's not all. Because with artificial intelligence and virtualization, you are going to allow us to reach the Holy Grail, the capacity to hypervise all of the digital surface area of the Ministry of Defense. Mapping tools, actually putting into perspective the needs of the operational field. If such and such an attack happens, well, such and such a ship won't be able to go to sea, such and such a plane won't be able to take off. We need to prevent that. We will use artificial intelligence technology. We cannot allow ourselves to develop our own technologies. We can't afford to, but we will base ourselves on what you are doing in other areas. We need to give ourselves the means of interacting with the cyber world. These tools need to be adapted to our operational needs, our own needs, which are very specific. When you see the questions that were being asked earlier about nodes, graphs, peaks, yes. When you have infinite networks that you ask those kind of questions, when you have networks that we can manipulate in the operational field, then there's other problems that we have to face up to. But we still need to continue ensuring defense. There is a real question to that. That's why we also need to give a lot of attention to research, particularly to this kind of event. All of these initiatives will help us go in the right direction. Forgive me for having lost a little bit the thread of what I wanted to say. Security of operational data, my second point. Security of operational data. The problem of operational data, it is very easy to explain. What I want today, my job, is to guarantee that information is transferred in a safe way through and through. Said like that, it means that it's very simple. It's very difficult to do. Transferring operational information, it's sometimes of vital importance. My soldier on the field, he's going to send on his contact radio, I am facing enemies who are shooting at me. I need a helicopter air support. It's important that information gets there. It's no longer just a question of maybe we need less safety. I don't know. the information needs to get to the right place, and I need to be sure that it will get to the right place. That's what's important. These opportunities that are offered by virtualization and artificial intelligence, at that point, they are fantastic, these opportunities, because if the data is transferred safely, then ideally, rather than securing data as we used to do, today we're still doing it, of course, we can secure the data, the single data, thanks to you. That piece of data must absolutely get through from one place to another. It is priority over anything else. It is encrypted in such a way as to prevent anybody from intercepting it within a given set of a time frame. That's what you need to offer us. That's what we need. We don't need to talk about the safeguarding networks. Those networks do not support the safety that they are being subjected to today. That will be the game changer. The game changer will be through virtualization and artificial intelligence. That is certainty, and thanks to your work, progressively we're going to manage to achieve it. But we need to focus. That's what I'm trying to do here. That's what's great. This opportunity that is given to us, thank you for welcoming it. Let's exchange information, operational information, in a safe way, transferring it in a safe way. That will give us the safety of information at the level of the data, piece of data itself, and that is fundamental. And last point that I want to give ideas to you, and you'll get the ideas yourself for the other ones, guaranteeing the resilience of operational architecture. That's very important. My soldier on the field must be able to be certain that his information is getting to the right place. Historically, safety is built embedded within successive layers. With artificial intelligence and virtualization, we're going to be able to targeted safety. That's my previous point. And the system will create its own guarantees, safety guarantees. That's what we need to anticipate. That's something to explore that is fantastic, that will allow us to transfer information in less costly ways in operational field. When you're here in France, the networks are infinite, but at best, in 10 years, IP networks, radio IP, on operational in the field, it will be 2 kilobytes. With that, we'll have everything must be able to circulate, to be transferred. There's a lot to be done there. Ensuring security, minimizing attacks on hardware and other virtual networks. When you're on the field, something I haven't yet talked about, the logistics. Logistics are a real issue in the field. Can I take some hardware with me, rather one crate rather than five? Then I've won part of the war. It's true. If I have one pallet of equipment instead of five in my plane, then I've got a whole lot of other things in my plane that will help in combat situations. Artificial intelligence, virtualization in the service of cybersecurity. Agile is agility. I hadn't used that buzzword yet. Agility in the combat situation. It's not just a buzzword, agility. It's an operational reality, and that's how you must consider it today. During all the different presentations, they testify to a great dynamics of this technology here in France and elsewhere. But I'm obviously more interested in what's happening here in France, carried by the internal armed forces ministry, and carried by the digitalization of our armed forces. I cannot thank the DGA sufficiently for all that they do for us. It is the energy of each of you that carry this project forward, which is ambitious. The digital transformation of the Ministry of Defense is something that we're talking about a lot, but we've been talking about it for too long, maybe, because it's been so long that we're talking about it that people are bored of it. But we're only at the beginning of this digital transformation of the ministry. You've heard of the Scorpion project, SCARF project, the new ships. We are talking about digital transformation all over the place, and we have no choice in the matter. So I'm going to renew the thanks that Madame Sclafer presented yesterday in her introduction speech. Thank you to all those who've worked on this edition 2019. Where is the president? Where is the chairman? Oh, there he is. He's over there. All of the program committee and his president, Mr. Martin. All of the speakers who came here to the platform. Objectively, I laughed at it because I didn't understand everything. I'm laughing at myself. I did understand some things, and it's really good, really cool, really good what you're doing. César Partners, who made this event possible, Lepec Lancy, all of the industrial sponsors the slides come up with all the sponsors, industrial company sponsors, corporate sponsors. It's important. All of these people are going to be found in all the things that I've described and all the work that we do operationally. And thank you to you who've come and passionate about what you're doing. Every year, there's always more people coming. Me, it's the first time I've come, but I've heard that every time there's more and more people. I hope the next year there'll even be more of us. I hope that the amphitheater will be filled. For those who've come here today, you can't see everything. So I'm saying to myself, this room is completely full. So see you in the 27th edition next year.